people have forgotten how to tell a story. Stories don't have a middle or an end anymore. They usually have a beginning that never stops beginning, by Steven Spielberg.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Expert Dale podcast, to fulfill your mind with the virtues of life. I'm your host, Umang Panchal, inviting you to join us at Expert Dale podcast, where we meet some enormous personalities from the world and listen to them to learn from their stories. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the fourth episode of Expert Dale podcast, and it's been so excited for me to interview the people from all around the world. I am not only acquiring knowledge, but also learn new languages, culture, skills, ideas, information, and some techniques to make life more meaningful and rejuvenated. And now, I am feeling like to be the part of the Hollywood. Why? Because of our today's guest. We all love movies by Marvel, DC, Universal Studio, and many other production houses. But have you ever thought that who are the directors of these blockbuster movies and how did they do such an extraordinary creation? Our today's guest is a movie director, story writer, actor, photographer, and film producer from Dayton, Ohio. And in his young age, he obtained many awards as a director, producer, and especially for his special movies and short documentaries. He achieved gregarious fame and fan following and showed his talent to some of the smashing and terrific movie making competitions and award shows such as 72-Hour Film Challenge, Columbus International Film Festival, the Christian Film Festival, Ohio Governor's Art Award, and the Golden Lion Award. And his charismatic TEDx speech is one of the most noticeable talk in youth, and it was real a showstopper. So let's get the show on the road and invite Max Kaplan, who is the phenomenal film director, actor, and musician. His popularity and flourishing personality admired by his fans and youth, by his efforts, movies, awards, and his ability to make a clone of himself in some of his documentaries and short films. I'm happy and feel jubilant to have Max over here. Welcome, Max, to my show at Expert Dale Podcast.
Hi, Mom. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to have you over here. So, Max, let's get started for today's talk. And I would like to say a couple of weeks ago, I was watching a documentary on Stanley Kubrick, the American filmmaker and photographer and popular director. And I have seen that he started his career as a photographer from his school life. And then he jumped into the filmmaking industry and the rest of the thing made history. And if I'm talking to you about cinematography, then my first concern about you is, so when did you find your passion? And let me know that what were the steps, the beginning stages at when you found or you have searched about your passion, about your vision for your life?
Well, I might have a long answer to that question. I got my start. I was very fortunate to find my passion when I was pretty young. I grew up in a house of artists. My mother was a painter and my father was into graphic design and painting as well, and photography. And so I'd say that's where I kind of first came around cameras, was just growing up and my dad always taking pictures of the family, taking pictures for magazines, for some side jobs and things like that. But it was also kind of my dad's doing when he created a film festival for his nonprofit in like 2008. So I would have been 8 years old. And I fell in love with the really neat people who came to show their movies, and kind of learning that all the movies I watched as a kid were like made by people who were paid to do that. And I said right then and there, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And I've been doing that so far.
Wow. So you got this talent. I can't say talent, but the inspiration from your family.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely played a huge role in me being creative and encouraging me to share my stories and use my voice.
That's so nice. They are the really helpful family to inspire you for all your life-loving hobbies. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I really owe a lot to them.
Okay. So Max, I was listening to Steven Spielberg and he said that he was diagnosed with dyslexia in 2007. And not only he, but many other famous personalities like Muhammad Ali, Charles Schwab, Tom Cruise, and one of my inspiration, Richard Branson, even a well-known example of the world's most intelligent person, Albert Einstein, he also suffered from dyslexia. So what kind of kid you were? Honestly, I would like to say like a famous among all and lovable in teacher and the parents, or you are like a backbencher.
Was different. I struggled to fit in a lot, and I wasn't great at bookwork. You know, like I had my really strong passions, and that set me apart. Like, you know, normally it takes people a while, sometimes their whole lives, to find what they want to do. And so I was a bit weird in the fact that I knew what I wanted to do. And so the things that didn't have anything to do with that, I mean, math, science, you know, I really couldn't get my passion into, and I couldn't work well. I was always distracted, you know, doodling on the sides of the paper. But I also made some really, really great friends, and I would say I was not the popular kid, but in certain groups, like, you know, the creative groups, we all helped each other out, and we, you know, built each other's work up. So I would say, yeah, I mean, I don't have dyslexia, I don't have any learning problems, but I guess I maybe have a motivation problem, where if it doesn't have something to do with what I like, I'm just not interested.
I got you. It's good that you already have your plans, you know in which direction you are going, and you know what you actually want to become in your life. And that's why this mathematics, science, and all this subject is not for you at that moment of time.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me say that when I was working with one of my startup at university, and I was conflicting with some of the questions that is really burning for me. And the question is like, is this really worthwhile? Can I do more than this company, or whether I have selected the right path or not? And due to this kind of questions, what happened is I made a lots of self-doubts. And hence, I want to know that how did you make a decision to pursue filmmaking or like a movie directing as a career? And how did you stop all those other ideas, the thoughts, the self-doubts, and the distraction, and just focusing on your single most niche about the film direction?
Well, that's a great question, because I think every artist deals with that, and the majority succumb to it, and they end up quitting or caving in and going into some easier career, because it's hard being creative. There's, you know, starving artists is a stereotype for a reason. But, and I'll never forget this. I was talking with a family friend when I was younger, maybe like 12 or 13. Mm-hmm. And one of my parents' friends asked me, you know, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to make movies. And they said something like, yeah, you and 200,000 other people. Now, I was too young for that to hurt me, but I thought about it a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'd say I had self-doubts outside of that, you know, like, am I good enough? Like, am I talented enough? You know, there's people out there who know more what they're doing and are better suited to do this. You know, why should it be me? Why do I feel like I need to do this if I don't feel sometimes the right fit for it? And I said to myself after a while, I said, well, there are people who do it. There are people who succeed, who get their visions out there, who do what they're passionate about, and are happy. And if I give up the progress I've made now, if I give up on the direction I've been going and committed towards, and I, you know is me, is Max, there's just going to be somebody who steps up and takes my place who had, who like held out, you know, a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. And so then you just say, well, why can't I be that person?
Got you. Yeah. So it means like, all the other entrepreneurs, the successful entrepreneurs, they believe in the resilience. And that's why they feel that the consistency and the hard work pursuing for longer time, again and again, doing the same work, the same thing, even sometimes it's a boring thing, but doing again and again and again, and you will win and you will get success at some point of your lifetime. So that's the very noticeable point that you have said. And so let me ask this question that makes me more curious about you is like the hindrances. And the hindrances that you have faced during the early stage of your film direction. And I would like to say, how did you overcome it? And what was your mindset during that situation while you were struggling of your hindrances? And it's like just grow through it, or like just the regular people you feel like to go through it.
Yeah. I mean, you come across obstacles all the time in the film industry that, you know, they say it's the perfect application of Murphy's Law, where anything that can happen will happen. And a lot of times those things that happen are bad things. They'll stop you from making a movie. Either, you know, an actor, you get behind schedule, you know, you realize your script isn't working, you know, it's not dynamic enough, it's not doing what you envisioned. There's lots of obstacles that you can control and can't, mostly can't. Mm-hmm. And so a big thing of getting past that is just kind of accepting, like, I can only do what I can do, and I'm going to try and do that to the best of my ability. Mm-hmm. And most of the time I found for me, that works out, and everything does work itself out. But I mean, as a creative, and all creatives know, like, there's so many projects, so many ideas that I've had that have fallen through and, you know, will never be seen by anyone other than in my own mind. And you've got to be willing to kind of sacrifice some of your ideas that maybe get blocked up, and you say, this is holding me back. I need to move on. I need to, you know, actually make something. And I'd say, like, when I was a kid, I had, you know, big dreams. I had a big vision. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make great movies. And being a kid, I'd say that was, like, the first huge bar for me, is there wasn't a lot of people who trusted, mm-hmm. you know, 14-year-old, a 15-year-old with being in charge of, you know, 10, 20 people on a crew. Yep. And with an expensive camera. And you know, maybe weren't so encouraging, you know, why are you wasting your time doing this? You're just playing games, that type of mentality around it. And I just always stuck to my guns. And I said, you know what, I know what I want to do, and I'm going to get it done. And yeah, I might be young and naive, but it's in doing it and making these mistakes, making bad short films, you know, that I'm going to learn, and I'm going to be better. And then one day you are going to take me seriously because I did this hard work right now that may not make any sense to you.
Wow. Wow, you have said such an amazing thing, that you pursued your dreams without getting any kind of distractions. You pursued your intuitions and you just followed the way, and you have the strong mindset that I can become something at some point of time, and that's when I will show what I am and how much hard work I have done in my past. Wow.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say I, you know, have done this without any restrictions, but it's in the mindset that you don't let the restrictions stop you. You work around it. You're adaptable. You're creative. You mm-hmm. know, stay on your toes.
Yeah, yeah. And I believe that these things are really powerful, and these strategies are really helpful for others as well. That you are resilient. You need to make sure you have a restriction. You have a hurdles, but you need to overcome that in order to get success. Wow, got you. And I can say that you have started early in the age, like you have said that you started like 12 or 13, you decided what you want to become, though you were a kid, but you have decided, and you face then difficulties and you just overcome it. And so that's why I want to know that, how did you start it, all this stuff from that kid to professionally? So like, you started by assisting anyone else, or by just implementing your own ideas in your project, or I would like to say some point of time, just following successful directors, or you just perform to work on your own pace?
Well, it was really kind of a mix of all of that. I mean, I first started, and I mentioned this in the TED talk where, you know, we heard of each other, but buddy was raving about the camera. I mean, it had more hype than the current iPhone, which, you know, has some of the greatest cameras on a phone. But we were like, oh, well, we should use it to make a movie. And I didn't know how to make a movie, but I was interested in it. You know, my dad ran a film festival. I you know, said I wanted to do something being creative in film. And I said, well, let's do it. And we just kind of ran around the yard and shot a little movie. And I didn't know how to edit. I just looked up YouTube videos and I asked friends who did. And I kind of like piecemealed together my own little working knowledge, little education on how to at least put a video together, not necessarily make a great story or make a film. And then after that, as I got more serious about it, I read books, you know, I watched videos, I went to classes, and then I started doing those film competitions where you have 72 hours to start from scratch mm-hmm. and make a film. And that was just kind of like, you know, baptism by fire, learning on the spot. When you say, I'm going to make this, you might not necessarily know how, but if you really want it and you're going to make it, then you're going to find a way to make it happen.
I understand that. I totally understand that. And okay. Let me quote this beautiful sentence that perhaps it sounds ridiculous, but the best thing that young filmmakers should do is to get hold a camera and some films and make a movie of any kind at all by the Stanley Kubrick. And you did exactly what he said. You just got a camera. You just start with making a film, and then boom, you got the success.
Yeah, I really love that quote by Kubrick, and if I would have heard it when I was younger, I would have followed it, but I seem to have found it anyways, and now I appreciate it. and I tell other people that who are like, how do I start movies? I'm like, listen to Kubrick.
And that's what they actually, the real successful entrepreneurs have done in their life. And that's why now the interesting question is, what was your first film that you have directed, like officially? And what were the responses that you get from your audience? And if you get any bad responses, then how did you started to contemplating and applied more creativity and efforts to overcome that mistakes?
Well, the first film that I did, well, a little video, was that one on the iPod when I was 11 or 12. And we just showed that to our family and friends. And they're like, ah, that's cute. I would say I didn't have a serious project, something that I could say was, you know, art, was me knowing what I was doing, until I was probably 15 or 16. And I was in a summer film class, and they had a prompt to make like a Hitchcock style short film. And you were going to learn how to write it and then film it with a crew, and then edit it, all in a week's time. And it was called Pont de Mort. And it was, you know, like a classic kind of 30s Hollywood movie about a love triangle.
Mm.
And I really, you know, I took a lot of inspiration from Hitchcock movies, and like unashamedly so. That was the goal in the class. And so everybody loved it there. I was really proud of it. I still to this day think it's a pretty decent short film. But I submitted it to festivals afterwards, and it won some minor awards, which was cool as a 16-year-old, you know, that's a big deal. But some of the judges and the people on the, I don't know, the boards of film festivals who vote, they sometimes give you responses. And yep. A lot of people just respected the fact that I was 16 and I made this movie and I was, you know, aware and using kind of Hitchcock's tropes well in my own way, making it my own, kind of remixing it. Because it's not an original story at all. That type of story has been told thousands of times that movie's about. Yep. But I remember a couple of the responses of these judges were like, you're just ripping off old movies. Like, there's nothing original here. You know, why didn't you try and write something new? And, you know, I said, well, no, that's what makes this movie good, is the fact that it pays homage to the greats. And that's kind of what it's about. It's not supposed to be original. Mm-hmm. I was just exercising my creative tools and being like, can I make a movie like this? Can I put myself in the shoes of somebody else and make a movie from that standpoint? So I was proud of it. And although I got some negative responses to that initial film that I submitted to film festivals, I wasn't fazed.
Got you. And you have said that you established a feedback system. It means like the feedback that you got from your judging panel, and then you have started to think about it, and you just applied the tools that can fit in some another people's film and all the stuff, and then you grow with your own materials that you have created from last few years. Cool.
Yeah. And I'd say the best responses I've gotten were from friends and family who were like, no, this part's good, you know, but, you know, this part of the story could have been better. This could have looked better. This could have been acted better. And that's what counts, is the constructive feedback that actually, you know, builds you up.
Yes. And it sounds really interesting. And I already talk about this topic, about the feedback loop, in my previous episodes. And I also listened from Elon Musk that I think it's very important to have a feedback loop. And where you constantly thinking about what you have done and how you could be doing it better. And it's really important for the growth and development to have a feedback system, so you can get what actually you want to become. And really, I appreciate that. And also, can you please share some of the movie names and tell me about that, how you choose the subject of that movie? Or I can say, what kind of brainstorming you do while you are choosing the subject for your movies?
Yeah, so with that first one, Pont de Mort, which is French for Death Bridge, which is kind of the subject of the movie. It's about this dead person we see, a mysterious dead person who's thrown off by another mysterious person who we don't know. And it leaves you to ask questions, why is this person dead? What happened? And then the movie kind of goes into the mystery of why that person was killed and why that person was dumping him off of the bridge. Mm-hmm. Dark, I know. But so that was a prompt that was given to us in the film class. So I couldn't choose that story. But then starting, you know, getting older, making more films professionally, and I would write them, or sometimes write them with a co-writer, you have lots of ideas. And as a creative, you just constantly have ideas that come to you in everyday life. And I like to have like an idea notebook that I keep, and I keep them all in there. And sometimes there's ones that just stick out to you that mean a lot, to have a message you want to tell or something you want to try that's new and interesting. And those are the ones that I kind of follow and hopefully follow all the way through with to get a finished film out of. And so kind of the first one starting like that, I produced an experimental film with now my constant film partner, Christian Gentry. And he wrote this film and he wanted to direct it. And it was really ambitious. And so he was like, we need to get a budget together. We need to get a professional crew and locations. Like, we need to do this for real. None of which I really had any experience doing before. So I said, well, yeah, let's learn how. And so that one did pretty well. It went to film festivals. I don't think it holds up. I don't think it's a really good movie, but I learned a lot from it. And so from those lessons, I was able to make more and more. And eventually made my most popular short film, Good Kids, which is a neo-noir about these kids who are caught up at this party in a drug deal gone wrong. And it comes from a lot of the movies that I love, classic noir and modern neo-noir crime stories. And so my love for that genre kind of made me write this story. But then at the same time, I was studying philosophy and the philosophies of good and evil and the nature of man and stuff. And so I kind of said, well, hey, wouldn't it be cool to put what I've learned from that philosophy into a movie that I'm making, like a script? Can I take those ideals and visualize them in a story, so that, you know, you're not just reading a book of ideas or you're not being lectured to? And so that was a challenge that I gave myself, and then made that movie, and I think it turned out really well. And it won a bunch of awards at tons of film festivals. And that has since gotten me jobs, like film jobs. People say, oh, I like this director. I want to hire him to do this documentary or this commercial. And so then that's how I've kind of chosen my short film since then. But all my other ones that I do, that we can get into later if you want. It's a long list. But mostly are for my passions. And I say, I want to tell the story personally.
Got you. And also I have seen some of the commercial videos on your website. Can you please say some of the company name from there?
Yeah, I've done some commercials for a creative marketing agency. I did a commercial for a essential oils company. And I've worked on a lot more that I maybe haven't been in charge of. But yeah, I've made a lot. And the thing with that is I try not to just make a commercial about the product. I try and tell a story through those. And people see that commercial and are like, wow, that's really beautiful. What is this about? And then they kind of research more into the product.
Exactly. And that's what I have seen some of the blogs recently, that right now the marketing agents, they are hiring the storyteller person like you, Max, because they want to market, because people don't remember facts, they remember the story. That's why the people are hiring the storytellers at the marketing field to elaborate their products, their services to the people. So it's amazing. Okay, so let's move back to the topic. And I believe that the film direction is all about the imagination. It's about the creativity and innovative ideas. I personally believe that it's the hardest work, while you put the story, the script, the visualization, and then after you finally make it done. And I have a question that, so during your journey of becoming film director, which film is or are the most influencing for you? And what do you think about it, how it impacted in your life and to pursue your passion in your life?
I have so many favorite movies. I'm definitely somebody who has a lot of interest and love. But I'd say, like, some of the first movies I watched filmmaking were Christopher Nolan's Inception, which blew me away when I was a kid. And I said, wow, like, how can somebody make a story like this awesome and look so cool? And it was the aesthetic and I guess some of the more topical things about that movie that interested me. And that's what I focused on for a long time as a young filmmaker, was, wow, how can I make that movie? And I always watched war movies with my dad. I loved war movies. So I loved, you know, the action. I wasn't so concerned with the story. But then as I got older and my taste changed and grew, I became more interested in personal stories about kind of life experience and kind of this commonality between us all, our humanity. And so I started getting into dramas, you know, things that explore people. And whether or not the genre of my film is drama, that's what I try and write about a lot, is the stories of people. I was very inspired by kind of Steven Spielberg and his obsession with childhood wonder and awe, and how we lose that as adults because life happens and life is kind of crappy, you know?
Yep.
And I love that that's what he tells stories about. And then Noah Baumbach and his films, like Marriage Story and the Meyerowitz stories, he tells stories about families, complicated people, and how we can very easily misunderstand each other just as easily as we can connect with each other. So I'm inspired more about those kind of underlying themes in our own lives rather than, you know, action or cool visuals.
Wow, wow. I understand that you have a deep thinking or a deep view inside the movies that related with some of the human aspect about the humanity, about the character of the people, and to show in your film by putting artistic view inside than that. Wow. So that was the most important thing that as a film director you are doing right now. And that's why I want to ask that, is there any specific process to make movie? I mean to say, when you get the story or write the story, and while working on it, what are the steps that you follow to make it done from the script to the final movie?
Yeah, well, like I kind of alluded to, I start all my movies by just kind of a germ of an idea that I write down and flesh out, handwritten in a notebook. And then I say, okay, what is this like? What does this remind me of in terms of music, books, movies, real places or things, TV shows? And I say, okay, I'm going to go watch all of those and see where this inspiration comes from and really what I'm exploring here. And I watch all those and get more inspiration and come back and flesh out the story. And then if I say, well, this is a great story I want to tell, this is going to be a good movie, then I move forward with it. And I take that outline, that little story that I've fleshed out, and I put it into a screenplay. And then once that screenplay is done and I think that it's ready to go and I still like it, then I'll start contacting my connections. I've been working in the film industry a long time, and I've got a lot of people who I love to work with and are always willing to work on my projects, thankfully. I'm very grateful for my team and my production crew. And I start calling them up and I say, hey, what do we need to get this made, and when can we do it? And then I take their feedback and they either say, well, this is a really crappy story, I don't even think you should make this. Or, hey, this is really good, it needs some more work. Let's fix these things and then we can start. Or there's people sometimes when they're like, yeah, let's go, let's make this, and we all get to work. And whatever resources we don't have, we figure out how to find. And whatever people we need to help that we don't know, we ask around and we get help.
Mm. Got you.
So then after we're ready to go, we've gotten everything in place, the actors, the locations, the cameras, the crew, the story, the final story. Then we start shooting. And sometimes you can get a budget and pay everybody. That gives you kind of a lot of control over your schedule because you're like, I'm paying you to be here this day, so be here. But sometimes when you're doing a passion project, you don't always have a budget.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to do things for free. You know, do it yourself filmmaking. We all know that as entrepreneurs. Yep. Sometimes you got to get scrappy. And so you do what you can to make it. And finally, it's all in the can, as they say. It's filmed. And then you say, all right, now we have all this footage. We got to put it together and actually tell this story, how we wrote it and use what we filmed to piece that together. And you edit it over however long that takes. And then when it's done, hopefully you're proud of it. And you show people and you put it out there to the world. You share it.
Mm-hmm. Good. It's so long.
Yeah, it's a long process.
Got you. And how many people are there in your permanent team?
On my permanent team, I'd say I have anywhere between 4 and 7 people who I'm always working with regularly. Sometimes they're working on other projects when we've got one going, so they can't join us for a particular production. But yeah, I'd say anywhere between 4 and 7 constant collaborators who I've kind of curated, and we all love working together.
Got you. And one more thing I have seen in many of the film directors and film producers, some kind of, that visualization power. And What do you think about the visualization power in this field? And because I can totally agree with you, because without visualization, it is impossible to grow in this field. And what do you think about it? Like how it helped to you to grow in your field?
Vision, I would say, is definitely the most important skill in filmmaking. Actually, being in charge of anything, if you have kind of any responsibility to create, organize, manage, run, you need to have the ability, the skill, to see something and then make it happen. And that wouldn't happen in movies. You can't just say, hey, let's make a movie. I actually don't know what we want. Let's just show up and see what happens. You wouldn't make anything good that way. You need to plan. You need to foresee. And then you need to bring that into reality. And that's, I say skill and not talent, because there is a distinct difference. It's something, that's something that you gain through experience. Not, it's not something you're really born with. You don't kind of just start out life and say, I know what I want to do and I'm going to do it. You kind of figure out through trial and error and the process of doing whatever it is you do, how to see something and make it happen. And not everybody is meant for that. Not everybody has that experience, and it's why leaders are so far and few between.
Wow. Yes, yes. And I love this art from the movie Sherlock Holmes, that he visualized the facts and then he just followed through their intuitions. And with that facts and intuition, it will correlate all the things and the situation and the condition, and then he find the solution. This is all about the visualization, the reasons and the condition what you have right now, and you just use it and make it as per the intuitions, as per the vision that you have directed in your life goal. And that makes me so curious and so happy that you already did it, and you did it so heartfully, so that you are now in the level, then you can share your story. Wow. This is awesome. And now I want to ask you a question about philosophy. Okay, it's your own philosophy and your own opinion about it. Like because you are an artist and a creative minded person, what do you really think about getting things done? And what makes you more productive and consistent in your work?
Well, I have a pretty strong philosophy on that. I think, as you know, my TED Talk was all about productivity and how not to burn out, actually. Because I think people like us, the doers, the dreamers, we get fulfilled from doing what it is we do, working, so to speak. But although we can seem happy while we're working, while we're quote unquote being productive, a lot of times that's actually what undermines what you do. You can not realize it and quickly become tired and disinterested, which is a common enemy of creatives. Sometimes you're working so close, so often, so intensely, that you actually lose your focus and you lose your way. And so what I talk about in that TED Talk is actually productivity, and getting things done through actually not. And it's that time that you take for yourself outside of what it is you do, that actually helps you be a more creative and more productive person. So I used to say, wow, I just got to keep making movies. I got to keep getting better, you know, to reach my dream. I got to keep going up the steps to my next goal and then reach my next goal and then reach my next goal. Mm-hmm. And I was finding that I was actually plateauing. At that point, I wasn't making better films. I was just kind of doing the same things, making the same mistakes over and over again. And I had to take a step back. And this was an interesting time where I said, okay, I know I love making movies. I'm not going to quit. But what I need to do is I need to take some time for myself, do something different. So I took my creative energies and I channeled it into music. And while I was still working on movies a little bit, I was not so focused. And I got into playing in a couple of bands, and writing in a different way, getting my creative juices out in a different field. And then I found that I learned a lot through those experiences. And so then coming back into film, I channeled all those experiences into just an even greater passion. And I think I make even better movies now today than I did a couple months ago. So it's this constant kind of give and take between yourself and what you love, so that both can get what they need.
Wow. This is so amazing idea that you have to give some of the times of your life to yourself to think about it, to give rejuvenated stuff to it, and then you can work more productive and more consistent with your own abilities and your own energies. So this is phenomenal. And so let me say something about motivation. And what do you think the motivating power inside you or from outside you're getting to do your work every day without getting boredom?
Well, I don't think I'll ever be bored with film. It's the thing I'm most passionate about. And I'd say if you are getting bored with what you do, maybe think about how that's not for you, or maybe not the only thing for you. You know, they say if you find what you love to work at, it won't ever be work. And so I've been making films since I was 11. That's 9 years of my life now. Wow. I'm getting close to making movies for longer than I was not making movies, which is insane, you know, as a young adult. And sure, there are times when I've been burnt out and I've been frustrated and I've not wanted to do it anymore, but I've never been bored. And I've taken that as a sign that, you know, no, I did find that thing that I love that I don't have to work at. It gets hard, though. That doesn't mean it's easy.
I got you. And as I have seen that you have participated in 72 hours filmmaking challenges, and you and your films got Best Cinematography Award, and as a Best Director, as a Soundtrack, and many other awards are that you and your team got. So tell me something about this competition and your experience in it. So, and what are the topics of that short movies that you shoot during the competition?
Yeah, so that competition, I really love. I owe a lot to that and what I've learned and the experiences I've had, and the artist I am today. Because what those do is those take teenagers from around the tri-state area in the Midwest, and they say, here, you have 3 days to make a movie from scratch. This is your title, and this is the genre. You come up with the story. You come up with how it looks, how it feels. And it's got to be less than like 7 minutes. I don't actually remember like the time limit they give you. Mm-hmm. And so you have to spend that first night and the beginning of the next day chugging out. Okay, are we going to do a crime mystery, like a murder mystery? Or are we going to do some kind of like hidden treasure? I don't know, maybe a supernatural mystery, like what's going on, what's real? And you just chug out ideas with your team. And then you find something and you write it very quickly, within a matter of hours. You print that all off for everybody, and then you get your equipment together, which you have beforehand, and you say, okay, let's go shoot it. And you go to locations, you know, you film in your houses on the street. You ask your friend, your parents' friend who owns a restaurant, hey, can we film at like a booth in here for a couple hours? And then you do that over a matter of a day, and then you have to be done very quickly and come back and edit it together in that third day, that third and final day, and then you have to turn it in exactly 72 hours later. Then a month later, after they've judged them all, they have a premiere, and all the teams, groups of 5 or 6 teams, maybe 20 of them, 25, so there's like 20 or 25 films, they all show, and then they give awards based on the, you know, panelists' decisions and also some audience choice. And I did that for 4 years, starting like my freshman year all the way up until, no, actually starting in 8th grade going until my junior year. And I always won some awards. I never was never the best, for sure. But then my last year, I had been doing it for 4 years. I was very experienced. The rest of my team was also very experienced and talented. And we made that movie in 2018 Final Reboot that won all of those awards. And that was kind of when I stopped. I could have done it for, I think, 2 more years while I was a teenager. I think I was 17 when I made that. But I decided to quit then, doing the film challenge, because I said, well, I've won all of these awards. I've kind of learned what I needed to, and I'm going to move on. I'm going to allow this festival, this challenge, to do for other kids what it did for me. I felt like if I stayed in there, I would actually be a detriment to what they were trying to do and to make these kids better filmmakers. Because when we were at those awards, it was like we'd go up and accept one and get back to our seats, and then they'd say, okay, now for the next award, and we win and we go up. And there was, you know, 25 other groups of teens, like, you know, maybe 200 other people who weren't winning awards, and their films were, at that point, we had just grown so much, and we did it. We were able to do it so well and get the formula down in our creative process, that we did really well that year with the awards. And so we moved on from that, and now we make even bigger and better, films. And I've actually come back and mentored some of the kids, wow, to do that challenge now.
Wow, that's the great idea that you have, think, to become a mentor for some of the kids, from where you learn a lot of lessons and skills in your life, in your field. Wow. And
yeah, it's huge to give back.
Yep, definitely it is. So now moving forward, the question that I am asking right now is most influential among the young and beginners in the entrepreneurship, and you have already done it. So if I'm talking regarding the cinematography and the film industry, so how did you approach the producers or the actors to work with them? So what happened many times, the people do cold callings and many other iterations to showcase their talent and product, sometimes their talent, their products or the services to the investors or the producers, but they faced failures. And that's why I want to know from you that how you did it.
Well, cold calling has worked very well for me in my career. I mean, starting out, I just started working with my friends. And as I worked more and more at making films, I met more and more people, got more and more connections through what I was doing. And I learned who was good at what they do and who isn't. So I started working at those who were the best at what they do that I could find, whether that be sound or art decoration, music, set decoration, cinematography, whatever it be. And I say, okay, you're way better at that than I am, so come on board with my project and help me make this better than I could alone. Mm. And then you have to stand out, I guess, when you get to cold calling for those people that maybe you don't have a connection with. And you say, okay, my project or what I want to do or how I want to grow is going to be better with this person who I either want to talk to for advice or I want to work with, that you want to cold call. And so you got to stand out first. You got to kind of do some legwork on your own, and make yourself unique and stand out. Because if you just contact somebody who you're interested in learning from or working from, and you don't have anything to show for yourself, you're just like, I'm kind of interested, they're going to be like, do your research and come back to me when you actually have something you want to do, something tangible you want to make. They're not going to take you seriously. So thankfully now, when I cold call people, whether that be even film celebrities or more professional artists that I want to work with, a lot of times I've found that they're really ready and willing to talk to me and happy to, because they see, wow, you've done things and you have the potential to be better, and I want to help be a part of that. Of course, you're not always going to get yeses and happy responses, or sometimes responses at all. But for the people who do respond and you develop connections with, it's totally worth it to just reach out.
I understand that. Yes, and I believe so, because when you have a vision and you just show your vision by the efforts that you have put in it, and then the people who even don't know you, he will get the idea from you, and he will see the talent or the research that you have done. Everybody knows that nobody is perfect. Okay, so then after your research, when he see your efforts, it is the point when you can get some lead from your cold calling even.
Right. You have to kind of earn a little respect. You got to pay your dues first.
Got you. You have to pay your dues first. Wow, this is a nice sentence. Yeah.
I'll give you a little anecdote to tell you a story about my life when this has worked out. So when I was in high school, I was in a literature class, and part of our assignments was finding publications and books and short stories that weren't super well known that we loved and bring them to class. And I found this short story by a professor out on the East Coast, I don't know, who had written several well-received novels, and the short story that I found in a book of short stories at the library. Mm-hmm. And I brought it in the class and I said, well, I really love this. And my literature professor was like, wow, that's like a really good short story. Like, great job finding it. And I just was obsessed with it. I couldn't stop thinking about it. I've never made a film that's about anything other than that I've written myself. Why don't I try and stretch myself and grow and do something new in adapting somebody else's work? And I said, why not this short story? Now, previously, when I was less experienced and hadn't made films, I would never have done that. You know, I'd say, I don't know the first thing about even making a movie. Why would I reach out and ask this person if I can make a movie out of their work? So I was well equipped, and I said, well, what's the harm in asking? So I emailed her, and sure enough, a couple days later, she said, like, wow, I can't believe that you're a student and you read my work, and I'm, you know, very humbled and flattered that you liked it. And I see your work, and I really admire it, and I would totally trust your hands to turn my story into a film if you like. And now that film hasn't been made yet. It's still kind of stuck in writing. I've made other projects ahead of it that I thought were more important. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that, you know, I could have not emailed her and just appreciated the story and moved on. And nothing would have happened. But now I have the experience and the connection of this author and how to adapt a literary work into a film piece. And I am emboldened and kind of now have the experience of that, like, yeah, I can reach out to people that I want to work with, and they're going to trust me and respect me for what I've done.
Wow, wow. That's the really important thing as an entrepreneur, because you don't know, and everybody even don't know who you are, what you are doing. And that's why you have to show your talent. You have to reach out everybody among that market. You have to tell your story. You have to tell your work, what you are doing, and what's your intention after your work. So, and after getting all these things, after getting even the failures from that cold callings, you learn the lessons, how you should present your art, how you should present your story to in front of the people so that they can accept you. And what you have done is the iterations by iterations, consequences of the failures, or I can say even the success, and you got lessons from it. And then you have a better connections right now. You have a better idea, thoughts, and artistic view inside your stories, so that other people can easily attract toward to you, and you can easily get the chance to work with them. Cool. Okay, so now this is the question that I really like it, and I want to know more about it, because it is about the aircraft lovers, and because I have seen that you got the chance to meet Bob Hoover. The people who don't know Bob, he was an American flight pilot, test pilot, and instructor also, and also an air show aviator. And his outstanding techniques and tricks during the air show, made people used to stop dead in their tracks. And just go to the Google and search about Bob Hoover, and you will find some interesting videos about his air shows. But now, so the question is, what was your conversation with Bob Hoover, and how does it impact on your thinking and on your life?
Yeah, so meeting Bob was super incredible, and I was very lucky to be able to have that experience. So I guess a little bit of background on my aviation interests. I think that it's really important to, you know, do what you love and be passionate about that. But my entire life isn't about movies. Something that I love on the side is aviation history, and airplanes, and all of that, because my dad has been in that industry for many, many years. That's what I grew up around, were aviation legends, museums, history. And in fact, the film festival that my dad made that got me into filmmaking was an aviation film festival for his aviation museum nonprofit. Wow. And so that's like a big part of my life that I love and kind of keep outside of filmmaking. You know, that's something I love on my own and I'm passionate about, and really doesn't have anything to do with what I do. But that's kind of, you know, what makes me unique, what makes us all unique is our passions and our hobbies and such. So anyways, with my dad's connections and going on business trips with him, I was at the Reno Air Races, and Bob Hoover was there, who my dad knows well, having been in the aviation history crowd for many years. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to meet him there, and he pulled me aside, and he gave me some really good advice that really impacted me, and we've kind of talked about so far on the show. Now, I actually wrote down what he said to me because it was so important. A little bit of background on Bob Hoover first, but yeah, he was an amazing test pilot. He actually flew me in to the Glennis, which, you know, broke the sound barrier. And in World War II, he was an ace, and he actually has an incredible story of actually being shot down and captured in a German POW war camp. Oh. And he escaped, and he stole a German airplane, and he flew all the way back to his friendly lines. And he almost got shot down because they thought he was the enemy because he was flying an enemy airplane.
Wow.
So he was an incredibly brave soldier and patriot.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so in my post about what he said to me and his impact on me, I said, "This is Bob Hoover, the 93-year-old World War II fighter pilot, Chuck Yeager's wingman, legendary test pilot, as well as an inductee of the National Aviation Hall of Fame. He passed away yesterday morning." This was back in 2016. "May he rest in peace. I had the immense blessing of meeting this extremely humble and inspiring man 2 years ago at the Reno Air Races. These were his parting words to me. Remember, you can do anything you want. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. You see, life is like a ladder with a step missing. And when you get to that step, you have to stop and think. Figure out how to go around it and not step in it. Don't let anybody force you to step in that hole, because if you concentrate and know what you're going to do, nothing can stop you. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. And if they tell you that you can't do what you want to do, the hell you can. I believe you, Nia, son. Good luck."
Wow.
That may be the most important thing anybody's ever said.
Exactly. It is the amazing life lesson that he gave you. Wow.
Right.
I believe so. You had a very good chance to meet him. I wish I could, but but I met some of the astronauts. That makes my life more rejuvenated right now. And now we are going to the rapid question answer session. Well, I will ask you some of the short questions, and you need to give him some easy and effective and quick answers. So are you ready for that?
Wish me luck.
Okay, best of luck, man. We can go ahead. And the first question is, what's your morning routine?
Every day I wake up fairly early, between 7:30 and 8:30. Mm-hmm. I make a cup of coffee and I read a book.
Wow. Okay. And the next question is about how much time you spend to sleep.
I like to get between 7 and 9 hours of sleep. Of course, as a filmmaker, being in production a lot, that's not always something I can do. A lot of all-nighters are spent fixing problems and getting ready for the next shoot day.
I understand that. I totally understand that. And the third question is about your favorite book and author.
Ooh, my favorite book of all time has to be Steal Like an Artist by Austin Kleon. It's an amazing, it's breezy, short read about how to unlock your creative potential by allowing yourself to understand what inspires you and not deal with feeling like you're ripping off other people's work, because there's nothing new under the sun. And I just love that message. Anybody should read it, whether or not you're creative. Like on the other side, a not work book, just a pleasure book that I love, is Tom Wolfe's The Right Stuff on the Mercury program that led up to the Apollo space flights back in the 50s.
Ooh, these are cool books. And the author, you said, he is really creative, and he is a young guy who is writing really phenomenal things, and I really admire him.
Yeah, he's got a great podcast and blog too. Everybody should check it out.
Yep, sure, definitely. Another question is about, what's your ultimate goal in your life?
I have a pretty simple goal, and I guess it'd just be to be successful enough to make the next movie.
Wow, cool. And the last question, but not the least, and it's really important. So it is about, how did you use this turmoil lockdown time, or I can say, how did you utilize it to improve yourself?
Well, that was a struggle at first. I was, just at home with my computer, and I said, well, I guess all I can do is work. And so I had an editing job at the time, so I worked a bunch editing, and ended up getting burnt out. I was like, why am I doing this? I hate this. So then I realized, wow, I need to take a break. you know, the whole world shut down right now. I need to just be able to take a breather and enjoy the space and peace and quiet, which we never get today. You know, the world is so busy and loud.
Gotcha.
And so I started reading a lot. I probably read 15 books
quarantine. Wow.
And it was during that rejuvenation process, the resting, the taking time alone and for myself, where I finally got the passion to write again. And I ended up writing a whole feature film during 2 weeks in quarantine. I'm still very proud of that. I don't know if the movie will ever get made, but you can definitely see how the lots of time off and resting actually paid off, where coming out of that, I was like, I need to make something.
Yeah.
It happened.
Got you. Okay, so right now we are going to end this session for today's talk, but I would like to say, instead of overwhelmed knowledge and hard work, like you are living your life with full of happiness and creativity. And I personally believe that today's session was outstanding and inspiring for those who are working on their dreams, creativity, and life vision than just for the only formal and monotonic life. It was really phenomenal to get the knowledge, to get some of the ideas, to get the productivity ideas, to get the rest for yourself, and some of the interesting conversation with Bob. This stuff is really inspiring for me as well, that I got lots of lesson and interesting knowledge from you. Thank you so much, Max, for joining us today for today's show. It's really awesome to be over here with you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to be on the show, Mong. I just really hope your audience can take something from it.
Yeah, definitely. They have a lot of stuff over here in this podcast episode, and they can get a lot more thing from you. Thank you, Max, for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
So don't forget to subscribe and follow us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Anchor. And you can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, Podchaser, Pocket Casts, Breaker, and also on YouTube. And if you like to read something about this episode, you can easily find the keynotes of the episode on our blog. You can get more information in the description, so please go and check it. So stay tuned with us to learn world's powerful techniques, strategies, skills, information to get the virtues of life.